you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk on KPECC. A very good morning to you. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope you're having a terrific start to your day. Reminder that Film Week comes up tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Our critics have a lot of films they're going to be taking a look at. We're also going to review the films from early this year, 2021, January through this week, that our critics think are really worth your time. It's a chance for us to revisit some of those films, and we're also going to remember a number of people that we've lost just within the past week from the acting writing community. That's Film Week tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock right here on KPECC. Well, we know that there's a lot of pent-up demand for Americans to travel as more and more Americans are fully vaccinated and perhaps have put off taking vacation time because there was nowhere to go during the pandemic. Now there are many more opportunities to travel. It appears that by the summer, even the European Union may be available for people to visit those countries after being fully vaccinated. But first of all, you have to get through the airport, of course, and we're going to talk about what's going on with travel at our local airports. We're joined by Frank Miller, Executive Director of Hollywood Burbank. Good to have you with us, Frank. We appreciate it. First, share with us, what are you seeing right now in terms of passenger traffic compared to pre-pandemic levels?
Well, when we first started out, of course, the drop in passenger traffic was severe. We lost about 98%. In the last few weeks, we have been seeing a continuous increase in the number of passengers going through the airport. A lot of them are the leisure, discretionary type of traveler, and that was to be expected nationwide. That's what we see coming back first. Right now, we're probably down around 75-76%, but we've had some recent events that I think will push us even farther along in a much shorter period of time.
Well, and what are some of those things that you anticipate building the airport's capacity and attendance?
Well, just a little over a month ago, a new airline that just came into existence, Avelo Airlines, chose Burbank as its first base city and its first launch of their service, and introduced 11 cities that previously had not been served out of Burbank. They're all regional cities, smaller airports, wine country in Northern California and Southern Oregon, close to national parks like Bozeman, Montana. So it's really catering to that pent-up demand that we all know, and anticipating that with the summer travel just ahead of us, that they were able to capitalize on that. And then just within the last week, Frontier Airlines announced that they will also be coming into Burbank and starting off with three cities, Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Denver. And so they bring passengers that typically would fly with them out of LAX. We anticipate that they'll now be coming over to Burbank. And as with any low-cost carrier entering a market, the incumbent carriers typically respond to that. They may lower fares. They may add their own cities. So that altogether indicates to me that we're about ready to really see a lot of growth going on at the Hollywood Burbank Airport.
All right. And what's your sense about, you know, people traveling by air, how price sensitive they are versus, you know, reluctant because of pandemic fears? Is one dominant over the other for passengers?
I think passengers have always been price sensitive, and the introduction, as I was just talking about, of these low-cost carriers will help to control the fares that we have out of Burbank. Avelo introduced their fares to all of these various cities as, you know, $19.
I love it.
Yeah, it's incredible. But then you have to add on certain fees, you know, if you want to check a bag or if you want you know, to have, you know, a carry-on, if you want more leg room. So, but it's still very affordable. And so that is a big draw for people. And even as I fly around now, and I've been I've had an opportunity to fly a few times. The planes are getting fuller, you know, and people just are more at ease, I think, with the number of vaccinations. While we hear some stories about, you know, people not wanting to wear masks for the most part, I haven't yet to be in a situation where I have seen someone absolutely refusing to wear a mask. So I think the combination of feeling better to travel, and I think a better feel for a smaller airport that's very convenient as opposed to a very large airport. You know, for us, those are the three critical factors. You know, people are being vaccinated. They are vaccinated. They also see the lower fares and the convenience that they have at our airport.
We're talking with Frank Miller, Executive Director of Hollywood Burbank Airport. One of the big advantages that you're talking about at Hollywood Burbank is the convenience. I love that I don't have to get there as early as I do at LAX because it's much more predictable how long it's going to take to go through TSA. I know what my walk is generally going to be, at least the maximum amount of walk to get to the gate. All of that is just so much more manageable when you're dealing with a smaller airport like Hollywood Burbank. But I wonder, with all the additional COVID-19 protocols and things that might have changed at the TSA checkpoint and the like, you know, do you have to allow more time? Is it different now?
It's added some time, if not anything very drastic. And we've been able to take the opportunity, you know, for the last few months to really refine the various things that we are doing, you know, the announcements that we're making and how we manage our lines. And even with, you know, the availability of pre-check, that's still there. So it didn't overburden us on that, you know, as far as the extra protocols. We do know that the masks, as an example, for traveling will be lifted. We anticipate being lifted sometime in September. So I think people are feeling more comfortable with the traveling. And so as they go to Hollywood Burbank, they're really not seeing any tremendous increases in the amount of time that they have. You know, I have flown out of Burbank, of course, and it's still a very easy process.
What about the technology? Is much more of the airport experience touchless than previously?
Not really. You know, what we have in place now is pretty much what we had before. Of course, you know, for the entire terminal building, we do a very deep cleaning every night with the electrostatic cleaners that are now popping up all around the country. But as we go forward, you know, we will be looking more at what the airlines are doing as far as touchless check-in, and we'll be wanting to talk with the TSA, you know, if they have any plans for changing that. So we'll want to know that as we continue to ensure that the airport is as, you know, easy to travel through as it always has been.
We're talking with Frank Miller, Executive Director of Hollywood Burbank Airport. If you have questions for any of our guests about the travel experience through our local airports, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with us, the Deputy Chief Executive Officer for Ontario International Airport, Atif El-Kadi. Thank you very much. We appreciate your being with us, Mr. El-Kadi. What kind of passenger traffic are you seeing through Ontario?
Good morning, and thank you for having me. It's been great to see all of such a huge number of our passengers coming back. Just recently for April, compared to April last year, we've seen an enormous increase with, you know, last year we handled fewer than 29,000 passengers in April. And then, you know, what we had for the last month was more than 298,000 passengers that moved through Ontario. So this compared, you know, it's a better reflection of our recovery that can be seen in this year's passenger numbers versus pre-pandemic levels. And the numbers show that we're steadily regaining passenger volume as airlines start restart suspended services and initiate new routes here at our airport.
Ontario, I know, is, you know, trying under its local control now to build the number of airlines that serve the airport and the number of flights, because over recent years that had gone down so much. We're talking even before the pandemic. What are the prospects now of trying to build the passenger volume at the airport with the, you know, coming out of a pandemic on top of other challenges you faced of so many airlines consolidating around LAX?
Yeah, you know, and what's great about Southern California is that we're such a big region that there's a lot of love to go around, if you will. So the Inland Empire's economy is extremely strong, and it's a rapidly growing population. And really, together, it's combined to put Ontario at the forefront of all of the airline recovery plans. And what it has shown a lot of our airline partners, our resilience during the pandemic, with how we were able to manage our costs, keep a very safe environment for the people that were traveling, and our continued growth from the cargo perspective. And so that has really helped us, establish ourselves as the airport for our area in the Inland Empire. And our airline partners have seen that. And so, you know, we're going to start this summer with six new destinations to Charlotte, Chicago O'Hare, Honolulu, which already started, Houston Hobby Airport, Mexico City, and San Salvador. And that flight to San Salvador will actually be the first from the Inland Empire to Central America.
All right, very good. We're talking with the Deputy Chief Executive Officer for Ontario International Airport, Atif El-Kadi, talking about how they're attempting to bounce back. Given all the warehouses, Amazon and others that are there in the Inland Empire, how much of that, you know, is becoming a significant percentage of the traffic, the cargo that's coming in and out of your airport?
Well, so during the pandemic, it was about a little over 71%.
Wow.
With regards to cargo, yes. Now we are starting to see that balance out as passengers, especially those leisure travelers, start to come back to the airport and start making their summer plans. Cargo was a big story for us and really helped with jobs in our economy within this region, which is very important to our Board of Commissioners as well, and within our community. So I would say that cargo is a higher percentage, but we are starting to see that balance out as passengers return to the skies.
Have you had any problems as you see passengers start returning, rehiring any employees that might have been furloughed or laid off as a result of the minimal passenger traffic of the past years plus?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we work very closely with our stakeholders and partners in the terminals. So the restaurants, the shops, and initially there were some challenges, and we've been able to work together with recruiting, helping them accommodate with regards to badging and security to start to bring back staff. You know, there was a time where there was just a lot of unknown, so they didn't really. They weren't necessarily ready to pull the trigger. However, when they did, we were prepared to help in that way so that they can start bringing back their employees and open for longer hours to accommodate all these flights that are now happening out of the airport.
And when people eat at a restaurant at Ontario, how has that changed? What's that experience like now?
So you have specific areas, specific tables that are completely closed off to help with social distancing, so that you can maintain that social distancing. We are doing a lot more of the grab and go, which is prepackaged food, if you will. And then our retail shops are seeing a higher percentage of folks coming in and just purchasing, whether it's drinks or chips, and just going to sit at their assigned area at the gate. You have to wear masks at any airport in the United States. So when they're sitting there and they have their food, they can take their masks off and eat. But, you know, everybody is maintaining a very, very high level of safety. And then with the cleaning that's being done throughout the day to really help help enforce those protocols and keep it a very healthy environment.
We're talking with Ontario International Airport's Deputy Chief Executive Officer Atif El-Kadi, also with us from Los Angeles World Airports, which operates LAX and Van Nuys, Deputy Executive Director for Public and Governmental Affairs, Becca Doten. Thank you very much, Ms. Doten. Good to have you with us. What are you seeing in the way of passenger return to LAX?
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me today. And it's a pleasure to be on here with our fellow regional airports. Our situation at LAX is very similar to what you've heard already. We do have a greater percentage of international traffic, which is returning at a slower pace than domestic traffic. But we were down about 96% versus 2019 numbers at this time last year. And now we're about 50% versus our 2019 numbers. In fact, so far in May, we've seen 8 of our 10 busiest days in the last year, as well as having about 51.5% on average of the passengers versus 2019. So we are making our comeback. It is the most rapid pace of return to the flight that we've seen since the beginning of this pandemic, really dampened the number of people coming to our airport. And we expect this will continue through the Memorial Day holiday and into the summer as more people, Mr. Miller said, get vaccinated and feel comfortable returning to the skies.
How do you determine your projected load you might have in July and August during the peak summer travel months? Is that something where you consult with each of your carriers that you've got there out of LAX and you figure out how many tickets they pre-sold or what? How do you do that, particularly because it's unclear where we might be in July and August in terms of COVID-19 and people's emotions about flying again?
Right. That's a great question. And it is not an exact science by any means. And I'm sure the fellow airports can speak to that as well. But we see what the airlines have projected in terms of the number of flights that they're going to have and the number of seats they'll have on those flights. And we can look at those projections. Of course, those projections that are a couple months out may change as we get closer to when those flights will supposedly be happening. So over the course of the pandemic, there were times when it was a more positive outlook that the airlines were having than what really happened, especially in the beginning of this year when we saw the surge in COVID-19. I think now that we're seeing, I think I heard yesterday about 2/3 of the adult population in California has received at least one of their two vaccination shots as a two-dose regimen. We're seeing a little bit more stability in the number of people who continue to return to our airports, and we have seen a more than gradual increase, a pretty steady increase that we project into the summer. TSA told us they expect about 80% to 90% of 2019 numbers for the summer. I would think that at LAX it might be a bit lower than that because of our reliance on international travel, which still has a number of restrictions to it. However, that's the projection from TSA that we can all hope will bring that many people back to our airports.
You anticipated my follow-up. Thank you for that. Yeah, I was going to ask about the summer projection. And wow, so that's the national number TSA projects, 80 to 90% of pre-pandemic levels of flying this summer compared to the summer of 2019. We'll continue our conversation with three executives of our local airports, LAX, Ontario, and Hollywood Burbank. And we'll also talk with an executive at Korean Air to find out how an international carrier is attempting to come back and see additional flights and more passengers traveling to the destinations they serve. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. If you have questions for our guests who are executives at three of our local airports, we're at 866-893-KPECC. Also with us from Korean Air, Vice President of Marketing for the Americas, John Jackson. Ms. Jackson, thank you for joining us today. I assume that for your business, you know, you're very dependent on what's happening in the markets that you serve, Seoul among them, obviously, but I'm assuming other markets in Asia. So what are you predicting for travel this summer?
Well, Larry, like Becca had said earlier, international travel is a little slower to return than domestic travel. And, you know, that's primarily because of the, you know, the closed borders and lengthy quarantines that we're seeing. But, so you know, so it was encouraging to see over the last couple of days what's happening in Europe. And hopefully, you know, we'll see some quicker vaccination rollouts in Asia. And we'll start to see things open back up again.
And we should mention what that EU news was yesterday morning is that the EU is looking at its member countries opening up to visitors from abroad who've been fully vaccinated, which would be huge for their tourism business. I mean, taking a look at Seoul, for example, because there's so much traffic back and forth between Los Angeles and Seoul, South Korea, because of the large Korean-American population here in Southern California. What are the restrictions on travel between the two countries?
Well, right now you're required to get a PCR test before you depart. I think it's within 72 hours. You take another one on arrival, and you're quarantining in a government facility for 14 days.
All right. So that's clearly going to curtail a lot of traffic unless people are planning to spend, you know, a very long time. What percentage of pre-pandemic passenger load are you carrying now?
Well, throughout the pandemic, we were seeing ourselves, you know, 80 to 90% down year over year. It's encouraging, though. This month actually is the first month since January of last year when we've seen a year over year growth, you know, compared to the month a year ago. So things are starting to look up. And, you know, like I said, with the with vaccinations being rolled out more, we're really hopeful that second half of the year is when we're going to start to see some meaningful recovery.
What sorts of changes have been implemented for Korean Air flights during the pandemic?
Well, you know, it starts when you check in at the airport, whether it's LAX or at Incheon Airport. You know, there's temperature checks there. Incidentally, you know, Incheon Airport was just named, I think, the second most clean airport in the world. So, you know, we're fortunate to have that as our main hub. But once you check in, there's a lot of touchless, flight check-ins. You drop off your bags. You scan your own boarding passes you're getting on the plane. Once you're on the flight, you know, we are serving meals and drinks, but it's single servings. The flight attendants are wearing protective gear, masks, shields, all of that. And, of course, you know, masks are required when you're flying. We do sterilize the aircraft on arrival just before departure. So, you know, it's a very safe way to fly. It's just, you know, we've got to get the borders open.
What percent of your workforce did you end up either laying off or furloughing because of the drop in passenger traffic?
Well, we made a point not to lay off anybody, so we haven't done that. But everybody is taking furloughs, and it ranges from a week, a month, to a couple months to 6 months, and a lot of that is just based on individuals volunteering.
Have you lost employees as a result of that? I guess I'm wondering is, you know, once travel resumes more typically what you had pre-pandemic, might it be difficult to get back some of those employees?
We haven't really seen that, no.
All right. We're talking with Korean Air Vice President of Marketing for the Americas, John Jackson. If you have questions for him or for our airport executives who've joined us, we're at 866-893-KPECC. John was just talking about the negative PCR test that's required for COVID-19, as well as the quarantine that the South Korean government has for people traveling. Becca Doten, at LAX, you have PCR testing available, right?
Yeah, that's correct, Larry. And we actually were one of the first airports to stand up our own on-site lab that originally had 3 to 5 hour turnaround PCR tests that were approved for travel to places like Hawaii. We now actually have a 1 hour turnaround test available as well on site at the airport. So even if you have a flight in a few hours, you can get that test on site. And it's been extremely successful. Since we opened up our interim solution in November, more than 95,000 people have bought some sort of test at our airport, mostly PCR tests and a few antigen tests as well. So we have multiple choices available for those at a reasonable cost. And we encourage people who need a test to come to our airport. Check out www.flylax.com/travelsafely. A lot of great information there about our COVID-19 testing, as well as all of the touchless technology we put in place in response to the pandemic.
Becca, do you off the top of your head know what the cost is to have that 1 hour PCR test?
You know, I'm going to look it up right now, and if you come back to me in a second, I'll get it.
That's
for you.
Right. I didn't expect you just have that, you know, just stored off the top of your head. But I'd just be interested to know, because that is obviously super convenient. Wallace in Beverly Hills says, I was taking a Delta flight back to LAX, and the taxi and Lyft area was absolutely packed. There wasn't social distancing. This was just last Sunday, he says. I just want to note that in terms of airport safety, because he thinks that LAX should look into that. Wallace, thank you very much. Becca Doten, is this something that you've heard about, that there are people being in very close proximity at the taxi ride-hailing area?
Yeah, it's been an interesting situation as we return to having more people at our airport. There's been a shift in modes of how people get to, from, and around the airport, as more people choose to take a Uber, Lyft, or taxi, or have a private vehicle rather than perhaps a flyaway service. So first of all, we recommend people think about maybe taking the flyaway to get to our airport, a super cheap and convenient way from downtown or Van Nuys to get to the airport. And when it comes to social distancing, and I think our other airports can speak to this as well, I think one of our biggest challenges in the time of COVID is how do you make an airport space that's meant to get as many people as possible into a confined space to get them onto an airplane, which is, again, a very much more confined space, but in a time with social distancing. So we do what we can to ensure the social distancing wherever available, putting up signage, reminding people to self-monitor their distance from others. But there also is, on the flip side, a need for additional Uber and Lyft cars to be put into service as well. I understand that there's a need for more drivers to be deployed. And we work with our partners at Uber, Lyft, and Opaly to see what we can do to ensure that our passengers have the services they need. I know there's been a lot of taxis available as well, and people have been opting for that choice too. So I thank you for the question. Certainly something we're going to continue to monitor. We have on our radar the need as things ramp up to understand how people are traveling to and from our airport and ensuring they have the best experience possible within that. Yeah. I will note, we are going to be opening up a 4,300 spot parking garage late summer. That will be an economy lot, a transit center, and some other pieces will happen there. So that will be the first major part of our landside access modernization program, which is going to include a automated people mover train and other pieces that will help alleviate some of the stress we've had on our parking garages as well. And we're implementing smart parking where people can purchase their parking space in advance, and valet and other amenities that will help as well. But in regards to the specific question,
yeah,
we're working on it, and we're okay, working with our partners. And Larry, I do have an answer to your question on the amount it costs.
Yeah,
$199 for the 1 hour PCR test.
Okay, $199 for the 1 hour test. That's at the Bradley International Terminal. And my understanding, also at Bradley and at Terminal 2, you can get the 3 to 5 hour PCR test, and that's $125 for the 3 to 5 hour result, $199 for the 1 hour turnaround on the PCR test at Bradley International. All right. I do want to ask you, Frank Miller, Hollywood Burbank Airport, about what Becca Doten was just saying about the tremendous challenge of coming up with the space for distancing people. How have you dealt with that? Because, being an intimate airport like Hollywood Burbank is, that has to be some degree of challenge.
Well, we, Larry, have, placed out these markers that help people understand the 6 foot distancing requirement. And sometimes it might be fudged a little bit, but for the most part, people are maintaining that. And, the lines that would not have gone as far as to our ticket lobby, we do see those. But the processing, again, through TSA really hasn't held up that check-in or the security check-in that badly. we are, you know, wanting to make sure that, we are aware of how long the lines get with the social distancing and how we can manage those. But again, you know, the convenience of the airport is still there. And while a line may look very long, it doesn't take very long to get through it.
All right. Again, if you have questions for our guests, we have three airport executives from Southern California facilities, 866-893-KPECC. Also executive from Korean Air, John Jackson with us, 866-893-KPECC. The AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can tweet your question at AirTalk or post it on the AirTalk page. AirTalk Facebook page, you can post your question there as well. Diane in West Los Angeles says, we saw a decrease in pollution from the airport during the pandemic because of so many flights that were not flying that did before. And wondering, have airlines thought more about making planes and air travel cleaner going forward? John Jackson of Korean Air, you're obviously not doing the volume of flights that a Southwest, say, would be doing here in Southern California. But to your knowledge, has there been discussion on this topic by the carriers?
Well, yeah, and we are probably right now, in terms of capacity, we're flying, I'd say, roughly 60% of what we did pre-pandemic. We're operating all of our routes to North America just at reduced frequencies and with smaller aircraft, with the exception of Honolulu and Las Vegas. But industry-wide, there is, a move towards figuring out how to reduce, the carbon emissions. And, a couple of things that you're seeing, we're all, looking at modernization of our aircraft fleets. The newer planes are much more environmentally friendly than older ones were. But there's also, we're looking at different fuel sources and all that sort of thing as well.
All right. Atif El-Kadi, of Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Ontario International Airport. Is this something you've heard from your neighbors of Ontario that maybe they've been happy about there being reduced flights out of the airport and concerns about you building up the capacity of Ontario?
So one of the biggest things for us, and especially our board, is that we are a positive community partner. And so throughout the pandemic, we were very involved with our community on all aspects of the airport and what it would take with regards to travel. We opened up on site our COVID clinic for testing. And while it is for passengers, it's also for people within the community to utilize it, which many of them did. With regards to, less traffic, if you will. Yes, of course, there are some that did say it was nice, but for the most part, our community understands the importance of the economic impact of the airport to the Inland Empire. And it's really more of a concern of let's get things moving again. Cargo is a great boom for this region, and being positive with regards to the economic driver that the airport is for the Inland Empire.
Want to thank all of you for being with us. That's Atif El-Kadi, a Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Ontario International. Frank Miller, Executive Director of Hollywood Burbank, and Becca Doten, Deputy Executive Director, LA World Airports, which operates LAX and Van Nuys. And our thanks to Korean Air's John Jackson. It's Air Talk on KPCC, and coming right up, we're going to talk about BMI, Body Mass Index, which is often used as a proxy for risk of diabetes, high blood pressure, other illnesses and conditions that are related to being overweight or obese. We'll talk about the utility and limitations of BMI when we come back in just 90 seconds on Air Talk.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.